Hello, listener. You have found Utrava Guide. This is podcast recording about Adventure Time. We like Adventure Time a lot, and we record things about Adventure Time and the episodes that air, and we talk about the characters and the land, and it's really, really cool, and we all love Adventure Time so much. We are just fans of the show. We don't work on the show. We only just talk about the show like fans do. It's a good show, and we love it, and we like to talk about it, and we like to squeal with it because it's so good. We love the show. Yes. Listen to podcasts now? Yeah. Yeah, listen to podcasts. It's good. We love it.
That's what we do on these podcasts. We fight with cats.
Quality podcast right here.
Maybe I can edit anything out.
Okay, let's record this shit.
Okay, welcome to episode 4 of the U Travel Guide. We are here to talk about Adventure Time and how much we love it and how much we feel so incredibly strongly about it. And our topic tonight is going to be the season 4 premiere episode, Hot to the Touch, which we all love so very, very much. So, introductions. I am, of course, Black Catula, your host and guy who does things, and the other people joining me this evening. Naki, would you take the floor?
Hi, guys. My name is Naki. My voice, you may notice, is a little weird tonight. I was at a convention last weekend and lost it there, so I apologize for any squeaking that may occur during the podcast.
Should have gone to the lost and found.
That was terrible.
I'm Ryan, known as Fauxboy online. I'm excited to be here to talk about season 4 opener. Bam.
Bam.
Hi, I'm Strawberry Budokai, or just Berry, and I'm new here. That's it.
But we love to have you here.
And is that everybody?
Well, Becca is here on the chat with us, being unable to record at the moment. In the meantime, let's just go ahead and get started. So, Hot to the Touch.
Oh my god.
Oh my god.
Jesus.
I have intense feels for Flame Princess.
I absolutely.
Oh my god, me too. She's so cute.
She's, yeah, love her.
I was just gonna say she's a very good antithesis to Finn. Good contrast, and I don't know, I'm so excited to see how she would interact more with the entire cast, not just Finn and Jake, although I must say I do tremendously enjoy their interaction as well.
Yes. Yeah, I'm actually curious to see what's going to happen when Bubblegum shows up next and Flame Princess happens to be there. I mean, there's immense potential, not necessarily for just another jealousy plot line, but I mean for the two being, you know, kind of very different character archetypes, and there's just, it seems like there's going to be a lot of great potential for interaction between those two.
There was a headcanon or a hope on Tumblr whose source I don't quite remember, where they hoped that PB would make some sort of science-y something to allow Finn and Flame Princess to be able to touch one another.
Yes.
And I want that.
I have that quote right here. The user was, "Hey guys, watch this." Yeah, the exact quote was, "Wouldn't it be too cute if PB helped develop some way for Finn and the Flame Princess to touch each other with her science-y stuff?"
Yes.
That's a nice flow to it.
It does.
There is also the Flame Shield spell that Flambeau cast on Jake the first time, but, I mean, that's just a temporary thing. So if PB were to do something science-y, something with the magic of science instead of just the magic of magic, that'd be cool.
I'd also like how that would play into like the character separation between Finn and Bubblegum, something like that, where Bubblegum's helping Finn with this new little love interest. I think that'd be really interesting to see, because we've clearly had a break from the PB Finn ship. That ship has sunk. It is no longer salvageable at this point. And it would be an interesting kind of kickstart into this new angle that they're playing with the relationships.
Yeah, I agree.
And it would just make me really happy.
I was actually looking forward to seeing her be a little more villainous as the series goes on, because her dad said she was evil. And I know that just because her dad said it, she was evil doesn't mean she actually is. But I kind of like the idea of her kind of being the kind of Ice Queen-ish character of the canon, like the pretty evil girl kind of thing.
I think her character is kind of misleadingly evil. Like, she's not trying to be evil, but because of her place of just not understanding the world and where she comes across as evil.
Yeah, just kind of more like an innocence kind of thing almost.
Yeah.
She's almost like, I don't know if you guys have ever read the comic Lenore the Cute Dead Girl.
Mm-mm.
No.
Lenore is a little gothic girl who is actually dead, but she just goes around doing little girl things, and she inexplicably causes death and destruction wherever she goes. She doesn't mean to, though. And so I think it might be something a little bit more like that.
Yeah, I remember that. She does come off as like they took the whole fire thing literally with her personality. She's destructive, but not really on purpose, because that's just what she is. That's just who she is, kind of thing.
Absolutely.
I'd like to raise a point or a discussion.
Bring it.
I was kind of like, I wasn't put off, but I was kind of surprised by Finn's like eagerness with Flame Princess, because we've seen before in his character that he's kind of a beats around the bush kind of guy, and he's like with PB it was always kind of around and shy and awkward and just weird, but it seems that with these two episodes, this season end and opener, that it's just really direct, and like he, when they meet up in the field and Finn's like, my brain just goes all stupid and junk and I just want to sit on the couch and play BMO. Like, it seemed really outside of what we've seen to be Finn's character. And I just wanted to see if you guys had any points or comments on that.
Well, I thought he was just, he's gotten desperate, kind of, you know, because he did beat around the bush with PB. And he saw how that kind of just torpedoed any, when he started to be a little more outgoing about his feelings for PB, he saw that by being like dragging out so long, it just torpedoed all of his efforts. So he was just going to go straight for it this time around. Because he beat around the bush with Susan Strong a bit too. I'm not sure if he realized that he may or may not like her. That one part is kind of confusing because she looks way older than him and everything. Yeah. But that doesn't seem to stop him really, actually. but with Flame Princess, I think that he just kind of was like, I can't let this one get away. I have to tell her exactly how I feel right now before something bad happens, which still didn't really work out, it seemed.
I actually have a couple of things to say in regards to that. I mean, on one hand, and I mean, I could go on forever, but I won't, so that everyone else can talk. But on one hand, you do have the idea that that he's attached himself so quickly to her because it's a means to get over PB. There's that idea. There's also the idea that he is intrigued by her, and he's very, it's even more easy to be taken by her because she's younger, because she's, as he said, more passionate, and maybe that's something that he's attracted to, and he didn't know it until he saw her. So, I mean, those are kind of like the two very, very short summaries of the things that kind of come to my mind, because I do kind of agree with you in that it was very abrupt, and, he's much more, enthusiastic about being with Flame Princess than about being with Fiona, or with Fiona, I don't think so, than being with Phoebe. And part of me does wonder if it has more to do with the fact that they're the same age. So maybe he didn't quite necessarily know how to approach Bubblegum, as opposed to like being a 13-year-old as well. He may have a better idea of how to at least talk to someone his age.
Yeah, absolutely. That's kind of what he did when PB reverted to 13. There was a similar dynamic, but those are both completely valid points. Becca has something to add here. I think it's interesting. It could be genuine love at first sight, or that it's Flame Princess is the challenge he wants. He's a hero and adventurer, and I can't see him being satisfied with someone who doesn't give him excitement, which is also a fantastic point.
Yeah, I feel like at the age of 13, when you're just sort of, when puberty is just sort of smacking you across the head, and you're sort of just kind of figuring out what kind of person you're attracted to, there's that you don't necessarily know it, I think, until you see it. Or you know, meet that person or meet someone that intrigues you. And there's kind of that idea, especially at a younger age, much younger ages, of love at first sight and becoming quite enamored with someone very quickly.
Yeah, sort of an impulse kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
You see something you want and you just have to jump on it right away.
Yeah. Well, that and like it's kind of the sudden click in your mind, like, oh, wait a second, that's what I'm attracted to.
Yeah.
And really latching onto that, like, wait, I wasn't attracted to this much older woman who wasn't giving me the time of day. I'm attracted to this very passionate, fiery young lady who's presenting me with more of a challenge than Bubblegum ever did.
Well, and that does factor into his hero side. I mean, you know, this is an adventure. This is something that I can still play the hero and get the girl. The girl is the adventure, yeah. And it kind of stacks it up on him. So that's cool.
It would be interesting to see how they interact from now on, because there is that notion that hasn't necessarily been touched on, but I could see it being part of their relationship, of that forbidden love kind of thing, because again, there's that hero quote unquote villain relationship where, I mean, she doesn't necessarily mean to, but she's fire and she's kind of, you know, unintentionally destructive. And he's a hero, and that's important to him. That's more important to him, as he, you know, he said himself, and finding, the balance and how the relationship would work. And, you know, it'd be very interesting to see how they progress.
Oh, sure.
Yeah. Well, I think at this point we can see Flame Princess as being like a viable in canon love interest. And I was playing around with the idea in my head, how that would affect like Finn and Jake's relationship. Because we can see throughout the episode, Jake being a little hesitant to really further that past, you know, she's evil, let's, you know, it's not good, stop it. But if in so future episodes that becomes more of a legitimate thing, that between Finn and Flame Princess, how Jake would react to the separation of his brother.
The something that might take away the bromance between them.
Yeah, like they're really, really close. And we saw that with that episode where he tries to get Finn and Lady Rainicorn to hang out, and how Jake as a character has difficulty kind of merging like friend groups and stuff. And I think it's kind of a strange dynamic, having such a viable love interest. And because the show is really based on Finn and Jake's brother love, like it would kind of set little tremors that I'd be excited to see them play with between the relationship.
I completely agree. It'll give a lot of chances for conflict and drama and stories that can be built out of that.
Yeah, actually, speaking of Jake, this episode really reminded me of how crazy he is. Like with the things he says.
Oh, sure.
I completely forgot how insane he can be sometimes.
Feel like I could just soar through the heavens. Suck, angels.
Jake is not a balanced character at all.
No, you're
and
not.
And I really think that this kind of relationship in Finn's life is going to send Jake into a little stir crazy. Like kind of how we saw in No One Can Hear You, with the absence of Finn, Jake just kind of goes off the wagon. I really do believe this kind of character introduction is really going to cause waves in that. And I really want to see what they do with it.
Mm-hmm. I think it'll be Jake going all crazy version of how Jake reacted to Marceline, because he was scared of her at first, and he kind of tried to kill her a couple of times.
Yeah. This is true.
But he scared him off. So it might be the same thing, but with less fear involved and more fights with Finn about it, because Finn clearly likes Flame Princess.
Yeah.
Absolutely. So Another question about Flame Princess. Since the first thing that she tried to do upon leaving the treehouse was set out to build her own kingdom, do you think that's going to play any more significant role in the future episodes? Is she still going to go around trying to build a fire kingdom, or maybe not?
Flame Princess kind of doesn't know what she's doing, I think, because you have this duality of have no experience of anything and now having all of this freedom. And I think, I'm pretty sure she's going to have a very difficult time figuring out exactly what she wants, because you're from someone being taken from living in a jar to just having anything you want. I think these ideas of grandeur are probably going to cause some problems that Finn has to deal with. Like how she set out, she went to go make a kingdom, was the first thing a 13-year-old girl with freedom does. It's a little excessive. It's just, I think it's going to be a plot point in her character development in figuring out what she really wants out of her newfound freedom.
Actually, the first thing she does after leaving the treehouse wasn't to build the kingdom, but she looked at flowers.
That's true.
So I think that says a lot about what she really wants. She just wants to see the world, kind of, because she's just, you know, going around touching things, trying to figure out what this does and what that does and what is this. I think the kingdom part,
it just came
in later, because she was all like, well, you're being a jerk and you keep hurting me, so I'm just going to destroy everything and make my own flame kingdom where no one hurts me, kind of thing.
I wonder if you know, taking that into consideration, her reactions to things have always been pretty mild until she feels she's gotten hurt. And I wonder if some of that is she spent, you know, let's assume she spent her entire life inside the jar, and that, you know, we have to make that assumption in you know, having this conversation, you know, this point. When, you know, she's just trying to explore the world and every single thing she touches either hurts her or she destroys it. And she loses that sense of control. And, you know, when people feel that they have no control over something, they set out to put themselves in a situation where they do have control. And so, you know, making her own kingdom seems to be more of a reaction to that, until something, you know, again, like hurts her and she kind of like is shocked out of it and, you know, recognizes Finn for what she assumes he is, which is a water element. And you know, her sense of control kind of like, you know, she still feels like she's in control of the situation because she feels like she has understood what Finn is, rather than feels like she's like has no idea how to control the things that she's experiencing.
Do you think that she uses her power as kind of like a coping mechanism for dealing with when she doesn't think she has any control over anything?
Oh, that's a great point.
Like that quick to anger and that snap decision is just her trying to regain what she considers control. Maybe because she hasn't really had it, or maybe thought to have had all of it from before.
Yeah, I definitely
could definitely be. Yeah, I really dig that.
Oh snap!
Yeah, it's interesting because it's almost like at some points do you wonder if does she actually have control over that. With that fire, I mean, obviously she does some of the time. She can throw fireballs and things like that. Is some of it just natural flame princess flame that comes out when she's angry? Sometimes you just have to wonder which is which, I guess.
I suppose that's true, but I mean, if you also think when she got, you know, whenever she was snapped out of her rage by Finn crying, all the flames in the village disappeared.
Oh, that's true.
So. Even though, like, some of it, I feel like she has enough control to diminish the fire in an entire kingdom. She probably, like, even though some, you know, fire will just naturally come off her, it seems that she has enough control over things when she wants to.
Yeah, I was about to say that I think it's a neat combination of the two, where she has some control, like you said, and others it's, like, controlled by her emotions. Going back to that fire theme of her personality, you know, because everything's like raw natural power or something, and tied to the what Finn said, her passion and her anger and everything that goes with what you think with fire, you know?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Like rage is associated with fire.
Warmth. Light.
Makes you wonder a bit. Does that kind of make Finn kind of pyro-ish, maybe? Because I can see that he sees a beautiful girl, but at the same time, is he attracted to the whole fire power thing that she has going on? Because, like, a lot of kids go through that phase where they just like fire.
Oh, sure.
that's an interesting point.
Yeah, it probably circles back to the love of adventure and heroism thing. I mean, fire is like the absolute basis of adventure and heroism. It's like fire, it's wild and uncontrollable, except you have to fight the fire, you know, you have to try and control it, but it's always there and it can be destructive or it can be, you know, warm and light. That's a great point. I mean, is it just a combination of attracted to the fire and the danger and the girl, or is it one or the other? There's a lot of potential there too.
So fire, pretty much, to sum it up, could be your best friend and your worst enemy at the same time, kind of thing, right?
Yes. Yes, amen to that.
That's a good line.
I really dig that.
Because the first thing I thought of when you say fire and adventure, I think of torches. That is like a role player or a gamer's anything adventure, a torch is like your best friend or a lamp.
It's the lifeblood of a dungeon adventure, so yeah.
Yeah.
A lot of tropes will have, or a lot of cartoons will have, the hero, their element, the element that represents them is usually fire. Like, okay, sorry for me always going there, but like you think about Digimon, okay? The main character, their Digimon always has a fire power, the fire elements, and they're always the most like passionate, quick to anger, but very heroic and daring kind of character.
Well, if you say that for the hero, then, but at the end, Flame Princess misappropriates Finn as being a water elemental.
Yeah, he's not happy about it.
that's very true. Well, he wasn't happy about it more or less because, you know, he was called a water elemental because of the way he cried, and you probably cry all the time. You cry and cry and cry and produce all this water. Well, no, I don't. I don't cry all the time. In fact, if I remember correctly, reading into the background production of this particular episode, Rebecca Sugar had been trying to write scenes where Finn had been crying throughout, since the first season even, and Penn kept turning it down because he didn't want Finn to appear too weak or too emotionally unstable, at least in the Department of Tears. I mean, he's emotionally unstable in other ways, but anyway. So yeah, she finally got her chance to write that scene and just look what great effect they put that to.
I think there's just like a little bit of subtext throughout the series that hints at Finn being kind of emotionally new to situations where it may not explicitly say that, oh, I was crying, but it'd be like Finn and Jake poking around. But there's like a subtext there.
That's entirely possible.
I just get that feeling. I have lots of feels about this show.
Oh, yes. Yeah, that's why you're on this podcast. And speaking of fire elementals, we would be remiss if we did not mention the fire elementals in Avatar, because we always mention Avatar on this podcast.
We do. Oh,
because it's so good. But, I mean, yeah, you know, Prince Zuko, there were entire episodes devoted to him not being able to produce fire because he had lost, you know, his drive, his elemental ability, the spark inside of him to create fire. He didn't know what it was. So, yeah, fire and heroism goes in hand. And it also, on the flip side, when all fire does is burn and raise and destroy and spread when you're not looking, it's Azula, you know?
Azula. Oh my gosh. I could go on and on about her. I have so many mixed emotions about her. since we're talking about fire and how it plays with heroism and Avatar, how do you think that it represents in the characters of Mako and Korra in the Legend of Korra?
Oh, Korra.
That laugh.
I can't resign myself to talk too much about Korra because all of the feels will just come up.
Yes. Oh, so much.
So then, adventure time, you guys.
Yeah.
Yeah. That thing.
I think this is an Adventure Time podcast.
Maybe. Just maybe.
Adventure Time and a little Avatar sprinkled in every episode.
Okay. I'm going to completely derail this conversation with a different topic that I wanted to bring up.
Okay.
And that is the return of Nepter.
Nepter!
Because, frankly, I loved Nepter in the first episode that he appeared in. He was just such a hilarious creation. And to see him brought back, one thing that Adventure Time does really well, better than most other shows, is continuity, especially when it brings back a character that you haven't seen for three seasons.
It gives me a lot of hope for them bringing back other, like, background characters.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Some of them have already been, like, confirmed as coming back. Magic Man is apparently coming back in a future episode.
Oh, God.
Yeah.
I hate that guy.
And then, well, he is a jerk. And obviously they're going back to the Nidosphere, so Marceline's dad is probably coming back again. But yeah, I mean, so many shows, when they bring a character back, the second time you see them, you know, their voices are maybe a little different. Their mannerisms are different because they're being written by a different person. Or you know, they have to change some certain details about the character to fit the current plot. So, but Adventure Time doesn't do that. Adventure Time is just like, oh yeah, hey, you know, Nepter. You know, he's been here the whole time. He was just playing hide and seek for the last how many ever months he was playing hide and seek for. And
they forgot about him.
And they completely forgot about him. But yeah.
Nepter is such a quirky character.
I completely concur, yes. Well, I like him because, you know, he's another character who just discovered what it means to live, and he has his obvious physical limitations, you know. And he's just like, you cannot tell, but I am giving you a thumbs up sign.
Yeah.
It's just great. I mean, as far as quirky characters go, he's one of my favorites.
Do you think that they added him into the episode because of the similarities with Flame Princess? Like, with the whole physical limitations on how I'm interacting with the world and just figuring out, you know, how to live and everything like that? Because she was stuck in a jar, a lamp, actually. And he was created, like, what, 2 months ago in the show? Three? Four?
2 months, yeah.
That's a good point. And especially if you bring, like, Nepter doesn't do anything other than try to help them. And in doing so, kind of breaks things unintentionally, or like hurts things unintentionally, which is exactly what Flame Princess did. She totally like burned those flowers unintentionally and hurt herself by touching water unintentionally simply because she was trying to help and understand her world.
I kind of see Nectar as being like, while you can make the similarities to Flame Princess, I see him more as kind of like a catalyst of Finn. It's this thing that's been made into what was supposed to be this grand, amazing, trickery robot, but ended up having all of these flaws and limitations, but still has kind of this gold heart of really wanting to help. And I think it really shows like how much Nepter really wants to help a situation, but how sometimes his limitations causes things to go worse than they are. Like, it's like when Finn was trying to just get on Flame Princess's good side, but with his inexperience with life, was not able to word the things he wanted to say correctly. And he keeps accidentally hurting her, but he comes from this genuine place of wanting to help. I think Nepter really, it's kind of just like a nod to Finn's inabilities by showing them more physically through Nepter's.
That's some quality stuff right there.
That's a good point, yeah.
And as kind of like a side thing, a thought I haven't completely worked through, Nepter, he's very well compared to other robots like BMO. BMO is multifunctioned. He's always on top of things. He's at the most part, BMO is helpful, and it's compared to Nepter, it's like what Nepter would really want to try and be as. It's the helpful and the always on task and the multifaceted. And I think that would show that separation of ability is really separated when you're looking at it from Finn's perspective from what he would really like to see himself as. Like, he's just this awkward and incapable 13-year-old to himself, while he would rather be having the ability to do the things that he sees in his mind being able to do, but not yet through whatever lack of experience not being able to fulfill.
That's some great stuff. I love that.
Just gonna go drink my Diet Coke now.
That's right. You just drink that well-deserved Diet Coke. Made my point. Time for a drink.
Well, now that we brought up Nestor, but I can't talk anymore. Do you think that little piece of Ice King that's in him is going to come into play later? since he's returned, you know, and everything like that. I'm sure he's going to pop up.
I think if they keep using Nepter as a return character, we'll eventually see something like that. But yeah. In the way that Nepter's character has been formed, I don't think that we're going to be seeing extended Nepter episodes or anything. He might be like a return side or background character, but I can't see them doing Nepter-related episodes with as much other content as they have to cover.
Yeah, that's a good point. They only like to expand on a character as much as is needed to tell the story of whatever episode they're playing in. So unless there's another episode explicitly about Nepter, he'll probably just end up playing hide and seek again for months.
Yeah.
Also, with Nepter's character, I think that maybe if they do bring him back for another episode, it would be for Finn to take a little learn some sort of lesson about responsibility, because he created him, and then they play hide and seek, and then they forget about him for months. That's going to bite him in the butt later.
It could.
Because Nepter seems a bit emotional. Like, he's trying not to be, but he's clearly looking for, like, approval, and he desperately wants to help from the way he talks in the show and everything.
Yeah, for sure.
Much like Finn.
Could also say the Ice King too for that. So, which also
there is definitely a trope throughout the characters of that like looking for acceptance. I think you can find that in a lot of the characters.
Yeah, actually, now that you mention it, yeah.
Because like you have Finn looking for acceptance from like his love interest. You have like Marceline looking for acceptance from her father, and you have Ice King looking for acceptance from anyone, really. Like, you could probably make an argument that most of the characters have that.
Have a certain longing.
Yeah.
One other point that I wanted to share. We got an anonymous ask shortly after the episode leaked online. This goes along the lines of future Fiona and Cake episodes as well. So Anonymous asked us, a third Fiona and Cake episode revolving around Flame Prince seems likely to be made at some point once Flame Princess has enough character development for a gender bend of her to be meaningful, maybe in season 5. I have to wonder if it will revolve around Flame Prince and Fiona meeting for the first time. Fiona rejected Gumball in her first appearance, so it means that her first meeting with Flame Princess was not the same as Finn's relationship defining first meeting with Flame Princess. Did I read that wrong? That is an interesting thing to think about. If there are going to be multiple more Fiona and Cake episodes, I do like the idea quite a lot, I must say.
As much as I really like that idea, I think with how little content there is of the Fiona and Cake universe, I would really much more rather see some focus on other areas than the romance part. Like, if we're going into this little hypothetical situation, assuming that there have been several episodes in between this, I guess it's all right. But I really like the Fiona and Kate characters outside of the shippy part, like as fodder for next episodes. Like I want to see Marshall Lee, and I want to see the differences between ooh and ah, and I want to see other things before I see that. But I think if the Fiona and Cake were to possibly have a spinoff or something like that, that would be so super cool.
Yeah, I completely agree, actually. And since the point is brought up that that the relationships are not exactly the same in the gender bent universe, in fact they're quite different. It could be assumed that Fiona meeting Flame Prince could be completely non-romantic in any sense of the word. It could be a male-female bromance, whatever. I don't know exactly what the terminology for that is, but it could be something the equivalent of that. It could be, you know, they're adventure buddies. They just want to go hang out and go on adventures together instead of actually trying to fall in love. So.
I liked the fan headcanon that Flame Prince is just really entitled and selfish. Like, not necessarily like that awkward and shy, inexperienced the world that Flame Princess is, but just hands down kind of not worth it. Just entitled and selfish and self-serving. I really enjoy that. Somebody had a headcanon on Tumblr that I enjoyed, and I can't remember who or what it said, but that was the gist of it.
That sounds pretty cool, actually.
I don't have any headcanons for the gender bend, especially Flame Prince, except for that I do like the mohawk thing, and I think everybody likes the mohawk. The fire mohawk. But I don't have much of an opinion of Flame Princess yet. I think she's cute. She's only been in 2 episodes, and I kind of need more episodes before I can actually form an opinion on a character and really get an idea of what that character is, and then gender bend them.
I agree with you. We definitely need to see more Flame Princess before gender bend headcanons become fully established, but the hypothetical was that there were plenty more episodes in the fodder.
Yes indeed. Okay then, all right,
well, that was productive.
That was fantastically productive.
That was wonderful. I really needed this.
I think we should wrap this up now, because I can't anything anymore.
All right then, well, this has been the Ooh Travel Guide. We are now signing off to go laugh ourselves into a coma of some kind. And thank you for joining us, all of my wonderful guests. Thank you to our newish panelist, Strawberry Budokai. Pleasure having you.
Thank you. It was fun.
And a pleasure having everyone, Naki, Ryan, Becca, on chat. You guys are awesome.
Woot. So are you, Kat.
Aww. Kat's awesome. Everybody, applaud.
Round of applause. You can't hear it, but we're clapping.
Becca also says goodbye, people who can't hear her because she's on chat.
Becca says bye through the ether. That's all. That's all we're doing. That's it.
All right.
Woo! All right.
Yay!
It's a wrap, you guys.
Yes. Sweet.
Skype is doing things again. Stop it, Skype.
Hi, it's me. Yeah. yeah. Is end of podcast now? You got good listen, I hope. We love podcasts. We like to talk. It's a good show. It's a really, really good show. Also, we're just fans. We just fans of the show. We don't work at Cartoon Network. We don't work at Fred Raider Studios. We don't work on the show. We don't talk to the artists that make the show and the characters and the stuff. This is all fan stuff. We don't represent the opinions of the show's creators or people. Visit us on our Tumblr website. We have is theoohtravelguide.tumblr.com. Ooh has 3 O's. It's like O O O. is really cool. Yeah, visit us on the Tumblr because it's really cool. Okay. Bye.